spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned today. Dr. Brad Schoenfeld is going to join us to talk about his recently published paper, Resistance Training Promotes Increases in Intracellular Hydration in Men and in Women. Just want to mention something. We're giving away 20 pairs of tickets to the Arnold. If you want to go to the Arnold or you're planning on going to the Arnold and you want to save some money, I can help save you some money. Here's what's going to happen today. A little bit later in the show, I'm going to announce how you can get yourself some free tickets to the Arnold, but you're going to have to hold on to hear more about that. Brad Schoenfeld, Dr. Brad Schoenfeld, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Carl, and great to be back again.
Yeah, last show you were on, I wanted to call you Dr. Schoenfeld, and you corrected me and said, hey, pretty soon, sit tight. And sure enough, you defended, what's the proper terminology? You defended your
dissertation,
and you are officially Dr. Brad Schoenfeld. That's got to be really great.
It is great, and it's unburdening because the work that goes into not only doing the coursework, but that it goes into preparing and going through the research to get your doctorate is quite demanding. So I can now focus on a lot of other things, especially my research.
So now when you make reservations at the Russian Tea Room on 7th and 57th, will you say this is Dr. Schoenfeld?
If and when that happens, yes. I don't see that in my near future, but yes.
Okay, so interesting study. And I've got lots of questions, some of them that have to do with muscle acquisition and some that just have to do with general physiology. So why this study? Why did you look at the changes in intracellular hydration as a result of resistance training?
Well, I mean, first we have to look at what the potential ramifications is. It's obviously, we're not just looking at it for the sake of, hey, let's see what we can find. This wasn't exploratory research. But there's a theory, which has certainly some good credence, that a hydrated cell increases protein synthesis, muscle protein synthesis, and reduces protein breakdown, muscle protein breakdown. And this research has been done generally in vitro, meaning in a petri dish, where they look at cells and they'll hydrate them or dehydrate them. And by the way, dehydrated cells have the exact opposite effect. There's a reduction in protein synthesis and an increase in catabolism and muscle protein breakdown. So the hypothesis would be that by increasing intracellular hydration, you can help to maximize the protein synthetic response and thus the accretion of muscle proteins, which is how you build muscle. So that drew us to say that, well, does resistance training itself promote an increase in intracellular hydration? And there is certainly some theories, but one of my mentors, Dr. Mel Siff, had always discussed the theory of sarcoplasmic hypertrophy,
right,
and
right,
how bodybuilding style training promoted greater sarcoplasmic increases, while powerlifting type was more just contractile, or it didn't promote the sarcoplasmic.
Yeah, and I have to agree with that. I mean, and my own experimentation recently, I changed the way I train because I started to notice that I was starting to become unmotivated to go to the gym, training in that 3 to 5 rep range constantly, loading my body with weight constantly, and so I tried. I've been doing a German loading pattern of a 10x10, where I'm doing actually 30 sets or 300 reps per body part. And, I can see the changes in the muscle fullness already. So, you know, this discussion has been going on since the beginning of time where people recognize that physical activities change your physiology. And so there's always been this discussion, well, does hypertrophy beget strength? Or does strength beget hypertrophy? And I've come to the conclusion that they are uniquely, they're unique to each other. They're not, one does not necessarily depend on the other. While one may influence the other, there are things that you can do to build strength that have more to do with neuromuscular adaptation, and things that you could do to increase hypertrophy, which have more to do with the, what I would like to say, the architecture of the cell more than the strength of the cell.
And that's certainly been shown that there is no doubt a direct correlation between muscle cross-sectional area and muscle strength and the ability to produce force. However, it is not a straight linear relationship, and thus there are neural mechanisms heavily enter into the factor. And by the way, I have a study that is just going to be coming out, or hopefully coming out shortly, just in review, which we actually looked and showed that the heavier weight training does promote greater strength than a bodybuilding style routine on a volume equated basis, and we attribute it largely to the increased neural mechanisms. But anyway, to further your point is that there's no question. And look, everyone, certainly we know that acutely, so right after a session, a bodybuilding style routine, there's no question that it promotes greater increases the muscle pump to a much greater degree than a powerlifting style routine. You don't get as much of a pump. Well, the question was, are there long-term, outside of the acute effects, are there long-term changes? And that's why we undertook the study to a degree. Now, there are limitations as we can get into, but that was kind of the genesis of why we chose to do this.
Now, how much of the results of this and the accuracy of the results of this research depends on the fact that people stay to some degree or achieve some level of hydration in general from their intake?
Yeah, we didn't look at that really at all as far as the as far as gauging what they did over the course of the study as far as their hydration intake, but we did factor that out of the analysis acutely, where they had to come in without drinking. There's certain protocols that you follow to make sure that that doesn't unduly influence the actual testing that you carry out, whether the consumption of fluids over the course of the resistance training protocol influenced it. I wouldn't think that would be an issue because, again, those are more acute. Mm-hmm. You have more acute effects, and the body changes that very quickly.
What? I have so many questions that my head. I had a question. Another one just dawned on me, and it's like I'm trying to write them down as quickly as possible here before they escape me. Mm-hmm. Intracellular fluid obviously changes the electrical charge of a cell. We know that the calcium, magnesium, potassium, these all have an effect on contractile force. Is it important, this uptake of intracellular fluid? Does it play a role in the acquisition of strength? Obviously, you're looking just at hypertrophy, but does it make the muscle fibers more apt to contract harder?
Not when you're saying increase. Obviously, there's a level of fluid that's necessary for maintaining normal function. It's certainly not been studied to any effect, and I know that if you increase it, will that have additional effects on enhancing it? And I would tend to doubt that. Mechanistically, I'm not sure how that would.
But one of the things I've always suspected about anabolic steroids, especially when you look at some of the side effects of the certain anabolic steroids that tend to have a higher conversion to dihydrotestosterone, is that they cause a partitioning effect of minerals like magnesium, calcium, and so on. And that I've always believed that the strength acquisition from anabolic steroids has more to do with the electrical charge that changes in the muscle fiber than the direct effect of androgens on aggression per se. And when you look at athletes who have been checked into hospitals with cardiac rhythm issues, They are almost always from DHT type anabolic steroids, which we know has a profound effect on the excitability of the calcium channel. And so that's why I wonder, you know, fluid plays a role here, because I've always said, you know, you don't have to necessarily use anabolic steroids to achieve this. If you had the right, and I guess the word I'm trying to struggle for, and I don't know if this is the proper use of it, but the osmotic effect of these minerals, because of the amount of fluid in the cell, that you could increase strength if you can get that to work the way it does when it's influenced by anabolic steroids.
Yeah, I haven't looked at that literature, Carl, so that, I mean, that's an interesting premise. I haven't looked at the literature in terms of how, you know, the steroid literature and how it could affect the strength mechanisms through altered fluid accumulation. It's interesting. That's something maybe I will check out after.
Yeah.
But it's not something
I've looked at. Were these trained individuals that you worked with? And I also love the fact that you used equal number, or just about equal number of men and women, because quite often, you know, we forget that women are in this equation as well.
Yeah, these were not trained subjects. So first of all, I want to make it clear, I carried out this, this is a co-authored study, and the actual data collection was done in Londrina, Brazil, Londrina University. So it was a collaboration between a group in Brazil that I've been collaborating on several studies. We have common interests. So they actually carried out, they have the facility. So here are some of the positives. Number one, as you said, not only was it, we had an equal number of men and women, but it was a large cohort where we had over 60 subjects, which is very unusual. At my facility, I would not be able to carry out the research just based on the limitations of manpower,
right,
and facility space to do that at one time. So that gives you greater statistical power. We did get very good statistical power in the analysis, and thus allowed for robust statistical work. Now, so that was a positive, and like you said, we also were able to look at both men and women and see that the effects were similar in both. From the intracellular water perspective, it was over 8% in men and 11% in women, the increases in the intracellular hydration. So those were certainly very strong points of the study, and really allowed us to get a good feel that this was not happening by chance.
Yeah. Listen, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we've got lots more questions. Also, I want to mention something and kind of give a little teaser here. Dr. Brad Schoenfeld is going to be doing a radio show here on the Superhuman Radio Network. You're going to have to sit tight and stay tuned for it. But I can tell you that it's probably going to be called the Look Great Naked Radio Show. Because let's face it, right, Brad? Who doesn't want to look great naked? I know I do. So anyway, well, let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more.
He's asking the hard questions.
Where are the convictions for the drugs that are being used right now that are killing people?
The government is too afraid to answer.
You see all the attorneys. Hey, if you develop cancer after taking this supplement, call our law office because we got a class action suit coming together.
Carl Lenore.
What's wrong with you people?
On Superhuman Radio.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD and neither should you.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Do you avoid protein powder because it upsets your stomach? Want a protein powder with zero fat and lactose-free? Look no further. Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Pure Whey Isolate delivers 25 grams of pure whey without any of the fat or lactose. And for a limited time, you can get a 5-pound jug of Pure Whey Isolate for $50 and free shipping. It's the lowest price you'll find anywhere, guaranteed. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge Nutrition banner ad and use coupon code SHR today. Limit one per household.
Special offer from Rob Regish for Blueprint Power Hour listeners. Purchase 1 year of the Blueprint Bulletin and get the Blueprint 3.0 ebook for free. The first 100 subscribers will receive the Superhuman University Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms course and another surprise bonus when you order. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com today or click the Blueprint banner ad on superhumanradio.com and get on the road to Gainesville in the fast lane.
You already know that Quest bars are the only protein bars that Carl endorses. You know they have 20 grams of high-quality whey protein and only 3 grams of non-fiber carbs. We don't have to tell you that they're the only bars that taste like the actual names. What we want to tell you is you can get a free box of Quest bars when you buy 3 from Predator Nutrition. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com and use coupon code QUESTSH. Now you know something new.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Brad Schoenfeld about his most recent paper looking at increases in intracellular hydration in men and women as a result of resistance training. Before we start talking about the type of training protocol that these individuals underwent and the results, we can obviously see the benefits of increasing intracellular fluid. When your desire is to build muscle and increase muscle size and shape, are there any other physiological benefits from the storage and partitioning of fluid and muscle that maybe affects overall health in general?
That's a real good question. Certainly, there's a physiologic range beyond which, as I mentioned earlier, that if you have a dehydrated cell, it will have negative effects and you will start to have, you will atrophy, and that obviously has very bad effects on your health, your overall health, and your functional ability. To say that does increasing it beyond the physiological realm have other healthful effects? Not that I've seen, and as we'll talk about, there's really very little research, if any, in vivo at all to suggest on any conclusions from this. But it wouldn't, offhand, logically, I can't think of other ones other than the fact that it helps to potentially might help to anabolize to increase your muscle growth.
And this is an important discussion, and I'll tell you why. Right. So everybody is in love with this whole notion of brown fat burns calories and shivering increases brown fat conversion and all this other nonsense. Right. And, the entire population is looking for ways to be lazy and fat and burn calories. Well, guess what else burns calories? Muscle. And we don't have to guess how to build muscle. We don't have to wonder if shivering, there's a lot of, there's a consensus out there that humans don't produce brown adipose tissue the way rats do. And when they do, it's usually that person who has that big hump on the middle of their back. That's usually where the brown adipose tissue stores itself. So building muscle more efficiently should absolutely be in every person's repertoire today, because building muscle is one of the ways to stave off age-related disease. So now let me ask you a question. Isn't the physiological range dynamic? If the muscle cell reaches some sort of, let's say, a peak volume today, doesn't the stretching of that cell allow for greater uptake? So isn't that a constantly changing target?
Yeah, this is stuff that really has not been studied. So hypothetically, I would agree, But as we can discuss, really the, and this is really trying to extrapolate the implications of the study, is kind of difficult because all of the data that we have is really in vitro here, certainly that I've seen. So when we try to then extrapolate, how does the in vitro data, what are the applications of that to a living organism, and which is constantly under a state of dynamic equilibrium, and how do those things affect it? It's really a guess at this point.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to find. I'm sure that that's going to start to become elucidated the more people start looking at this. So what was the training protocol that these individuals followed?
Yeah, so we did it. It was a 16-week study, which is another strength of the study. So we comparatively long. Where by most standards, most resistance training studies are anywhere between 8 to 12 weeks. We stretched it out over 16 weeks, and we actually broke it up into two sections. So we had an 8-week, of the first 8-week section, then we had a testing period where we actually did an interim at the midway point. We tested their intracellular hydration status, and really the total body water status as well. And then we had another 8-week period, and it was a bodybuilding routine, a typical bodybuilding routine where they were doing 8 to 12 reps, a multi-set protocol, with multiple exercises. So it was a very similar to the way most bodybuilders would train. We had them, and they were pushing to the point of fatigue for the most part, or close to it.
These were full body workouts, right?
Correct.
Three times a week, one day on, one day off.
Exactly. 3 day a week, every other day routine.
Yeah. I mean, this is what most people start out with when they first get into the, and obviously see gains from it. So this increase in intracellular hydration, for those of us who just want to know the bottom line, it resulted in an increase in muscle cross section, I would imagine, right?
Well, the correlation isn't, obviously there is an increase in muscle growth, but that's not what we were looking at. So we weren't trying to correlate the two here. We were really just looking at the intracellular water status here. So we did not really look at the effects. Now, look, we don't have to be a rocket scientist, or we didn't need a study to show that 16 weeks of bodybuilding training is going to increase muscle.
Right.
To try to draw a correlational conclusion based on that really is impossible. And so here, I think it's time. It's important to get into some of the limitations. So number one, so we found a significant increase in intracellular hydration. It was 8%, above 8% in men, 11% in women, which the effect size, which is basically it's a tool that tells you the magnitude, and it's takes into account the variance between subjects. So it gives you an overall idea of the meaningfulness and the strength of these results. Was moderate, so which is good, which shows that there really could be clinical meaningfulness here.
Right.
Now, the caveat to all this is, number one, we don't know, what is that point where intracellular hydration is going to actually have these effects in vivo on promoting increased anabolism and decreased catabolism? That has not been studied, and
right,
it's a very difficult thing to study. So we know from in vitro data certain things, whether that actually then translates into in vivo, in the living, in vivo means within the living, is anyone's guess. And even more so, we also did not look at, we didn't compare it to a powerlifting routine. So
that would have been like a control then, in other words, the powerlifting routine, right?
Well, correct. And by the way, that research is in design now. So we are looking to now, and hopefully by the fall, our talk is that we will then be carrying out a study that looks at this in the fall, where we do a similar type of routine, except it compares powerlifting versus bodybuilding. So that can tell us then, is there something within the bodybuilding style training that has this effect, or is it just resistance training in general? Now, here's one of the interesting points and hypotheses that we came up with, that bodybuilding training relies primarily on what's called fast glycolysis, which is the anaerobic breakdown of carbohydrate. And when it's under anaerobic conditions, that the carbohydrate then cannot be used, it cannot go into aerobic, you can't use that for aerobic production of ATP, and thus you build up lactic acid. And our theory was that this will increase glycogen storage, that training in this glycolytic capacity makes your body, it upregulates various enzymes in glycogen storage and makes your body want to store, your muscles want to store more glycogen. And we know that for each gram of glycogen that you store, roughly 3 grams of water are stored along with the glycogen. So the theory was is that the bodybuilding style training is inherent to promoting this greater intracellular hydration effect because of the increased glycogen storage.
Right.
And that's something we will test. The hypothesis will be tested when we compare it against powerlifting, which does not, powerlifting relies primarily on your stored ATP and your phosphocreatine, so it doesn't really tap much into carbohydrate as a use of energy. And thus, at least hypothetically, you're not going to increase your glycogen storage as much, and we would think that you'd get this greater sarcoplasmic effect through the bodybuilding style routine. Whether that actually plays out remains to be elucidated.
Before we go into the break, was there a washout period to see if the intracellular fluid buildup started to go back to its pre-resistance training levels after some period of time of not training any longer?
No, that we didn't do, but here's another interesting finding. As I mentioned, we did study, we did break the training into two blocks, so two 8-week blocks, and we, at the interim, at the middle of the study, we actually did a test to see intracellular water, and there was an increase at the midpoint and then a greater increase at the end of the study, so that the body continued to increase its intracellular water content. We know over the course of 16 weeks, it wasn't like an early effect that just happened initially. And again, that might indicate increasingly greater glycogen storage. Now, whether that would continue, obviously there's a limit to how much glycogen your body can store, and it's still speculative. Could there be other mechanisms that are being involved here with the storage that we don't know?
Yeah, and again, I keep coming back to the fact that as the size of the vessel increases, the ability for that vessel to hold more content increases, which, you know, that if you continue to train like that for 10 years instead of just 16 weeks, these fibers in the muscles become accustomed to being jam-packed full of stuff. They stretch. We know that the fascia of the muscle undergoes changes to allow greater expansion in the muscle for greater fluid uptake. So I have to believe that if you just continue on this path, it's the reason why we see guys who train for a decade in bodybuilding style end up with 19 inches, you know, 19, 20 inch arms when they started out with 14 inch arms, because this is a dynamic occurrence that, you know, that once the cell gets to a certain point, the muscle fiber gets to a certain point, It has to stretch to allow more intake of more fluid, more glycogen, and so on.
Well, and that actually, the stretching of the cell itself is the theory behind why the anabolic response is initiated, that basically it is a survival mechanism.
Right.
When the cell perceives a stretch, it's going to react by thinking there's a threat to its integrity and thus reinforcing its ultrastructure by synthesizing proteins and reducing breakdown.
And one of the things that, if we look at things like katsu, as an example of an extreme, forced, acute stretching of the cell, we know that, growth factors, intracellular growth factors increase when the cell is stretched to that degree. So that supports this idea that this is when the anabolic response isn't because we want bigger, nicer muscles. The cell, the fiber is trying to keep itself from exploding.
Yeah, everything is an adaptive process in the body. The body doesn't care about looking good in a tank top.
Yeah.
It just cares about surviving.
Yeah, how stupid the body is. But anyway, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break. But before we do that, plug your website, Brad.
Yeah, it's lookgreatnaked.com, www.lookgreatnaked.com. I have a lot of cool stuff, a blog on there, as well as a lot of articles, a lot of my published work.
Excellent. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. This is one of those things, I think it's going to be 30 years from now, and people are going to go, oh, damn, this didn't work out right.
He's serving up an all-you-can-eat buffet of brain food.
It's gotten worse for us who are overweight because we're now paying our fair share for things that we didn't have to before.
Get it while it's hot.
The fact that there's only 50% of the population is obese, that means the other 50% is doing something different.
You're listening to your daily dose of wisdom. Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
The best fat loss patch just got better. Now, the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat?
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com. Today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Hey, you want tickets to the Arnold? Do you have the Superhuman Radio Network iPhone or Android app? If you're listening live right now, the fifth person, number five person who messages me using the message component of the app will get 2 tickets to the Arnold. And if you're listening to the podcast and it is February 14th, the 14th person to message me on February 14th through the iPhone or Android app will get free tickets to the Arnold. Come on. What are you waiting for? If you don't have the app, go download it. Go to iTunes or Google Play and search for the Supreme Radio Network app. It's free. Okay, we're talking with Dr. Brad Schoenfeld. We're talking about his most recent paper on intracellular hydration as a result of resistance training. One of the things that I noticed, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I could be misinterpreting this. While there really wasn't much of a difference between the effects on men and women, which was positive, that's a good thing. I did notice that, am I reading this wrong? When intracellular water went up in the women, total body water went down. Only in the women. In the men, it didn't matter.
You know, you're taxing my memory now. It's been a while since I looked at the data. We actually carried out this study over 6 months ago.
Right.
That the total body water could not have, if the intracellular water went down, because I'd have to go back and check that.
It looks like it's I'm looking for a plate number. It's figure number two when you do have time, and maybe you can message me on Facebook
sure.
and we'll put it. But it, yep. looked like, it looks like in women, intracellular water increased and total body water decreased, unless this, because it says this is relative change between pre-training from post-training on the body composition components in men and women. So I could be reading it wrong, but that would make sense because women hate to gain weight. So I could see their bodies instinctively dropping total body water as they're increasing intracellular body fluid. So it would be
well, you have to have the reduction in the extracellular water would have to supersede the intracellular, and that I don't believe that happened. But anyway, it could. I have to go back. I don't recall that offhand.
Now,
I'm sorry.
I have to believe that hydration. We've talked about studies on the show that being dehydrated as little as like 10 or 15% reduces strength output and muscle mm-hmm. fiber contractibility.
Acutely, correct.
Okay. So I have to believe that if someone was not drinking or getting adequate amounts of fluid in their diet, that these results would change. Or am I wrong? Would the body still do what it has to do?
Well, when you say adequate fluid, that's one of the things when you look at fluid intake is that we really don't have a handle on what is adequate fluid.
Right.
Remember that your food itself also has
right.
water. There's a misperception that you need to necessarily just drink everything, that there's water. Most foods or fruits are the majority of them.
And carbohydrates, hence the word hydrate, you know?
Correct.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So really, to say what is adequate, the old thought that the 8 by 8 ounce glasses of water is optimal, or is it based on body weight? There has been no literature I have seen that has showed what is optimal, or optimal in itself is kind of a misnomer.
Right.
Because it's from person to person and takes into account what they're doing. So I would say if they're dehydrated, that would be the case. And we didn't look at that. So it's possible, but you'd figure with the sample size that we had, it would be very unlikely that everyone or that most people walk around dehydrated. I wouldn't think that's...
Would it be expected that if this group did not train further after the 16 weeks, they just completely stopped, that the intracellular fluid would just become extracellular fluid?
Well, the theory would be that it wouldn't, and then it can be excreted. How that would end up regulating itself is speculation. But certainly the speculation would be, because remember that if the glycogen, you would tend to then lose glycogen within
right.
the muscle, the body would regress, and you'd have, from detraining, you'd go back to your previous state, and you're not going to be holding the intracellular water, and you'd assume that that would be, the body would then re-regulate itself, and how that would play out, again, just would be speculation.
Wouldn't this be a good reason for individuals who perform more endurance-type disciplines to pay more attention to resistance training? Couldn't it be said that this storage intracellularly could then become kind of a reserve for the body, especially with the glycogen storage increasing as well? You know, so many people who focus on endurance type exercises, bicyclists for instance, they have this attitude that excess muscle weight is not a good thing. Carry what you need and nothing more. But wouldn't this be like your muscles would become a battery, if you will, where you could store glycogen and fluid that could then be used in reserve for long distance training and stuff?
Well, first of all, it would depend where. Obviously, the upper body would not be a good thing generally for distance runners to have a lot of extra weight in the upper body. So from a lower body, if you're just talking lower body, certainly there would at least be hypothetical reasons why that would be the case. And what we don't know is how endurance training might affect the intracellular water content as well, that there might be, certainly there is increased glycogen storage via endurance training. So whether that actually helps or not is speculative as well.
Yeah. So, looking at this study, I mean, this study was designed to pretty much put a finger on something that we've already suspected, right?
Correct. So the way, and this is one thing that I'm really big on in terms of educating people about, studies are just pieces to a puzzle. Each study that you do basically begets other studies, and that we don't have the holy grail of studies that's going to ever show anything. So what you look to do is this would be really what I would call a preliminary study to provide context to some of the things that we have thought to be true, and really this is the first study that does, I would say, in a compelling fashion, show that resistance training, bodybuilding resistance training, does lead to increased intracellular hydration. Now, the ramifications of that need to be elucidated. We don't know. It's purely speculative to say, will this have effects on increasing the contractile hypertrophy over time? I can't say.
Or the protein, or does it influence the protein synthetic response, which is another part of the discussion when we talk about hypertrophy?
Well, and if you influence the protein synthetic response, if you increase protein synthesis without affecting protein breakdown, or positively, because there is evidence that it positively affects, attenuates protein breakdown, that's where you will increase contractile hypertrophy. So the effects of that, the majority of those the proteins that you're going to produce would be in the contractile machinery, the actin and myosin. So you'll be producing more sarcomeres and thus hypertrophying. So now, but again, that's, we're extrapolating in vitro to in vivo results, which is a difficult, not more than difficult, it's speculation. So there's a logical basis. What we need to do as researchers, we look for a logical basis, then we carry out a study, and then we say, okay, here's a piece, we've gotten this piece in, what do we do next? As I mentioned, the next piece is going to be to look at, is there differences, at least from my group, is there differences between powerlifting versus bodybuilding style training in terms of this, and certainly then we need to try to mechanistically see if the cellular hydration in vivo is producing these responses, and if so, is there a threshold? Is it any increase in cellular hydration will have an effect? Is there a dose-response relationship? These are all things that remain to be seen.
How did you evaluate intracellular fluid? Did you have to do a biopsy?
No. We did it through what's called spectroscopy, bioelectrical impedance spectroscopy, which is bioelectrical impedance sends a electrical signal through the body, and this isn't like the kind of bioelectrical impedance that you just handheld, like the things they sell in
the body fat assessment systems.
Yeah, well, it's the same technology, but right. This is a very advanced piece of machinery that's thousands of dollars, and it has much greater validity, and it's been validated for the purposes of measuring the compartments in body water.
Interesting. Nobody wants to have a needle stuck in them every time you have to do something like this. So that makes perfect sense.
Correct.
So you're already undertaking some new directions in this to kind of further this discussion. When will you have? And I know that when you talk about pieces of a puzzle. Lots of the things that you've done in the past kind of lead us to this notion that periodization is really the way to go when you want to acquire both strength and hypertrophy. And at some point in time, will you end up taking a prescriptive approach and say, okay, if you want the fastest strength and muscle size gains at the same time, this is the way you have to train? Is that the end result of a lot of this work?
No, that to me, you can never say anything like that because, so here's some of the rubs when everyone wants that cookie cutter approach. Number one, we respond very differently as individuals. So we can get insights into the way humans respond in general, but in every study you do, you will see people who have huge results from the same program who get huge results and then people who get almost nothing. And remember, we report the means as researchers.
Right.
It's not telling you where the interim is. That's number one. The other real, there's other things too, but the other real problem, especially with a periodized, investigating periodization, is there are a gazillion different ways to periodize. It's not like when you compare a periodized approach to something else, that's one periodized approach versus one other way to train. And I can give you a million different possible other ways to train. You can't say would that have been better than this. So we can only look at certain things within a given study, and that's why it becomes extremely difficult to try to pinpoint even how well periodization works, because there's just too many different permutations.
And really, when we talk about periodization, what we're really talking about is navigating around plateaus that occur as a result of the body's natural ability to become accustomed to an impetus and stop responding to it, right?
Yeah, that's exactly correct. That the basis of periodization, or the reason that you do it, is to try to maintain results while preventing a plateau. And what you have to remember is people have different recuperative abilities. So when you do a study, you're not giving people, now could you do an intuitive periodization approach? Yeah, and then that depends upon how skilled the person is,
right,
who's doing the intuition. So if you're just going to do a general periodized approach, some people might be not prone to overtraining. It can have a lot greater volume, where other people need, they're already overtrained by the time that study is going on. And how do you piece these things out and try to study it? So, you know, when you hear people, we have, the internet has made a lot of what I call abstract scientists, who basically they read the abstracts to studies and then think they're experts on a topic. And really they're, it does an injustice to the scientific process when that happens. You have to be, you have to understand science, you have to understand research, and you have to draw conclusions very, very carefully and generalize only in the case where you're, where the research allows you to generalize.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. I mean, when I first started doing this show some 9 years ago, it was exclusively with the belief that science was 100% accurate, and then over the course of 9 years, I've seen science contradict itself and then contradict itself again, which has come full circle to where I realize now that the only true, there are only two true sciences in our life, and that is math and physics, because you can reproduce 2 + 2 = 4. But the things that we try to reproduce in the lab, when we're talking about the human condition, have so many variables. And even then, even if you get it right and you can reproduce it, then there's other variables that you didn't take into account that as soon as you throw those into the mix, everything goes, awry. And so you're absolutely right. And I see so many people make statements unabashedly. This is how it is, and dig their heels in. In fact, I think I saw a Facebook comment of yours, and maybe it wasn't yours, saying that somebody was like breaking your chops because of an article you wrote like 8 years ago where your opinion has changed, right?
That's correct. Yeah, that my opinion has changed on so many things, Carl, that and I'm proud of it, because a true scientist is constantly changing his beliefs based upon new research that comes out. So, yeah, I mean, you get people, though, with the internet being as old as it is, there were things that I wrote 12 dozen years or so ago, and books that I wrote a dozen or so years ago, that I just would not write today. I have completely, or when I say completely, I have a lot of different visions about what was written, what I wrote, and would not write those things now. Well, my opinions have changed. Now, those are things, first of all, I've become a much better scholar, thankfully, over the years. I'm now much better able to understand research and to critically analyze it, and also just the research itself has brought upon new revelations that have changed things. So, absolutely, I'm sure we'll be talking in 5 years, and there are things that I'll be changing my opinion on again.
And that's what you should look for in an individual. When somebody digs their heels in and says, no, this is the way it is, you need to run for the hills, because
absolutely,
that means that they've stopped thinking, they've stopped applying critical thinking, and now they become a zealot. They're making decisions based on visceral feelings about something instead of the science. You have to be able to let go of things that you realize were wrong and admit that, hey, I was wrong. The problem is that so many people out there want to be taken as experts. The internet has created a bumper crop of experts. Every time I see somebody who said they're the number one person in health and fitness, you know, it's like this, all this hyperbole, it's just nauseating after a while. The truth of the matter is, the people that I respect the most will tell me, well, what we think right now is this. And they say they leave those, they use those kind of loose statements because they've been proven wrong before, they've had to change their position before, and they know, hey, you know what? In the rigors of science, you may have to change your position again. They never say, this is the way it is, absolutely. And when somebody does that, run for the hills.
Yeah, and not, I would go further and say you should embrace that. We should be happy. When things change, there's nothing wrong with being wrong. What's wrong is when you maintain, when you're rigidly held to a certain belief, a closely held belief, in the face of compelling evidence
right.
that suggests otherwise. To say that this is what I thought then, that was the evidence at the time, and this was my my belief system at the time, and now I see that that things have changed. That's scientific.
Yes, absolutely. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Carl Lenore.
I want to live longer. I want to be stronger. I want to be healthier. And I want everybody to come along.
Calling out the daytime television quacks.
I want to see Dr. Oz do those things in the gym. He's out there telling people how to be stronger, be healthier, look better, live longer. Let's see him put himself to the test. Let's see any of these people do the things that we do in this audience here.
Motivating the people.
We are the true superhumans.
You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the BioAge banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount. Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. AgeForce introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order. The best fat loss patch just got better. Now, the AgeForce Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AgeForce Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat?
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
I don't know. Yeah. It's
official. Yeah. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Talking with Brad Schoenfeld. Alex Leaf, who is the editor of the Superhuman National News, comes out twice a week. And you get everything before you hear about it on the mainstream media. Go to superhumanradio.com and join our mailing list to join our newsletter. He posted on my Facebook, I really am surprised that no one has pushed water as being the best anabolic agent. But it's not anabolic if you just consume lots of water and you're not training, right?
No. And again, the consumption of water is not correlated in any way that I know into the intracellular, how that ultimately affects intracellular or extracellular is not known. So obviously, again, being dehydrated, we have to remember it comes down to physiologic levels. I would certainly say that if you're dehydrated, that's going to be a poor health mechanism as well as
right.
anabolic. But to say that increasing water intake above a certain point is anabolic, there's no evidence that I know of that.
Yeah, in fact, you know, too much water, it could be a bad thing. And one of the things that we've done shows about this that, you know, unfortunately, the show was done about runners. We had a scientist on last year who started writing articles saying, look, you know, we have all these runners out there and they are hyper hydrating, right? Before running, during running, and they're drinking all this water. And what they're basically doing is, especially when you're doing long distance running, the body starts to redistribute resources. So the kidneys stop passing water through into the bladder, and they keep it in the system. And then all of a sudden, and you're pounding down water and pounding down water, and you start having some imbalances in electrolytes, plus the fact that the water is staying inside your body. And this notion of consuming large amounts of fluids during exercise and performance really is not the wisest thing in the world. You have any opinions on that, Brad?
Yeah, that is somewhat outside the endurance. Certainly I've trained endurance athletes in the past, but keeping up on the endurance-based literature isn't something that I've been doing recently. I've been so focused on the muscle growth. So certainly, again, the extremes are not good in anything, but I can't speak intelligibly on where that, what the points are whereby that would be, that poses a problem.
Well, and so let's talk about the area, that you focus the most on. In my humble opinion, and I'm going to make a prediction, and that within the next 4 or 5 years, just that short period of time, the mainstream is really going to start getting the importance of muscle. We've been saying that muscle is metabolic currency since I started doing this show. The first show I ever did, and the first couple years I did a show, I used to close the show by saying, muscle is metabolic currency, so get into the gym and make a deposit today. I used to tell people, look, you save money for old age, and if you don't have enough muscle on your carcass so that you can remain ambulatory and healthy, then your money that you've saved is going to go to changing diapers. Because you're going to be, you're going to be in a wheelchair facing a wall waiting for somebody to point you at the television for the last, you know, fifth of your life. So this discussion that we're having right now, while it may seem to some people to be about vanity and esoteric, oh, well, you know, building muscle, but no, the mainstream is going to get it eventually. And maybe it's sooner than later, because there are some good research papers coming out now saying that muscle acquisition can stave off diabetes and things like that. Muscle is a necessity. It's not optional. And this notion of finding ways to allow people to age while maintaining as much muscle as possible without making them work out the way we work out is probably going to be the solution to a lot of disease in this country.
Well, I would go further and say that sarcopenia, which is the age-related loss of muscle, is, if not the most, certainly one of the biggest threats to the health of our society, the long-term health, because we're living longer, but ultimately we're living, the quality of life is going down significantly because as age is going up, people are not exercising and we are living, do you want to spend the last, as you kind of mentioned, the last 10, 15 years of your life living bedridden with someone spoon feeding you and changing your bedpan? And that's ultimately what happens if you do not use your muscle, you lose it. And that, unfortunately, is going to lead to huge health consequences over the years. And by the way, it also, that in itself has negative impact on bone, which has negative
right.
impacts on falling. And I mean, we know that in the elderly people, the majority of people who get a hip fracture end up dying within a year in infirmity. They end up staying at home because they can't survive the fall. It's not like when a 20-year-old breaks his leg.
We went out to dinner last night, Elisa and I, with a friend to celebrate his birthday. And one of the things that came up in the discussion was, you know, some of our friends are moving out of the homes that they live in now and moving to more ranch-style homes on a single floor.
Right.
Because as they age, they're afraid they're not going to be able to get up and down the stairs. And when this discussion was happening, I saw Elisa looking at me. And then I looked at her and I looked and she kind of winced at me like, really? And so then she goes, well, that's not a discussion we've ever had. And I said at the group, I said, if you're worried that you're not going to be able to get up and down the stairs, then selling your home isn't what you should be thinking about. You should be thinking about building strength to carry you into a longer life. I mean, I can't imagine going, oh, we've got to move out of this house now because in 10 or 15 years, I'm not going to want to be able to climb these stairs anymore. It's like, really? Maybe you should start climbing the stairs as a form of exercise. How about that one?
Absolutely. The prescription is not change your house. It's change your lifestyle.
I know. And you know what else? And the notion is amongst most people that, well, no, you're aging. You can't stop this process. There are so many guys and gals out there that are 70, 80, and 90 that are proving that, hey, you can still run fast and lift weights at 70, 80, and 90. I had somebody recently tell me that I couldn't put on muscle anymore because of my age, and I've added some significant muscle in the past couple months alone. And it's like, are you sick? You're crazy if that's what you think.
When I train, I've trained guys and women in their 60s and 70s who were outlifting much stronger than women in their 20s. So there's no question that's the case.
How about you, Brad? Do you train every day, or because of your demands, you really don't have the time to?
I train about 4 days a week. Generally, my schedule allows a four-day-a-week training, and I vary it. I switch between split routines, total body routines, so I do periodize my own routine somewhat instinctively, but in a planned fashion. And obviously, my schedule is such that I have to have some play in there. It doesn't always work out the way I want, but I still train regularly. I've not missed a week of training in God knows, probably 10 years. I think the last time was when I was injured, so.
Uh-huh. Adele Moussa just posted on Facebook, and then I'll let you go. I know you have to get going. He says, I will soon be releasing a proprietary blend of cold water, lukewarm water, and ice water for optimal anabolism. And I will obviously produce a radio spot and have it air on Superhuman Radio during the breaks. There you go.
That's great.
Adele is great. Yeah, he is. Hey, listen, first of all, stay tuned. Those of you who love Brad Schoenfeld, you're going to get more and more of him in the Look Great Naked radio show. We're launching two new radio shows this coming month. Paleo FX Radio with Michelle and Keith Norris, and 1001 Natural Cures with Dr. Jared Skowron. Those are launching. They're already ready to go. We're going to tape our first episodes this month. They'll be launching next month. And then right after that, we'll be launching Look Great Naked Radio with Brad Schoenfeld. And I know that regular guests will be Brett Contreras. And who's your other side?
Alan Aragon has got to be in there as well. So, yep.
So you'll be getting more and more Brad Schoenfeld right here on the Superhuman Radio Network. Brad, thanks for being on the show today, brother.
My pleasure, Carl, as always.
Take care. All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, I got a couple announcements to make you're not going to want to miss. We'll be right back.
He's Carl Lenoir.
The brainless people at the FDA need to be convinced that arsenic is not good for humans to consume, because the FDA feels a little bit more research needs to be done before we're considered that this particular arsenic is dangerous.
Only on Superhuman Radio.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use AuraMD. AuraMD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of AuraMD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the AuraMD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but AuraMD, and neither should you.
Just like Carl Lenoir, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
What happens when you take UltraDrawl and reduce it to near molecular size? You get skin-stretching muscle gains ridiculously fast. You get NanoDrawl, only from Predator Nutrition. NanoDrawl is a stronger muscle builder than even methylstenbolone. NanoDrawl's nanoparticle size gets faster entry to the bloodstream and muscle cells. Batch-tested for potency. You can save 10% off by using the coupon code NANRL1. Click the NanoDrawl banner ad on superhumanradio.com today. Get ready to outgrow your wardrobe. Get NanoDrawl.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
So I get emails from people all the time, still to this day, saying, hey, you know, they're not updating the RSS feed on iTunes or Stitcher or someplace like that. And I don't understand what the problem is. Everything I do is from one RSS feed. It's up on Super Radio Network homepage. If you click it in Internet Explorer, it formats nicely. It's easy to see. Every single show is up there. But for some reason, when it's interpreted by these other websites, for some reason, they leave shows out for no rhyme or reason. I don't know why. A gentleman who I had on my show, I think it was last year or the year before, Sean Kernshield, who is a super fan. He's actually been listening to the show since the very first show. Still listens today. Called me yesterday and said, look, he figured out the problem. If people open up their podcast management software, whether it be the one that's supplied with your iPhone or Stitcher, and there's usually, if you go all the way down to the bottom, there's usually a link that says, view older episodes or load older episodes, and you click that. For some reason, some shows, they're not reading the date format properly. And so they're just out of sequence and they're in there. But I'm thinking to myself, like, why is anybody still using, the iTunes app on their iPhone or whatever app that you were using before to listen to the show when we have an app that manages the podcast perfectly? The second I update my RSS feed, it's there. Cause that's how I check the RSS feed now. As soon as I've finished uploading it, I open up my app and boom, I see it. You can stream the show live. You can interact with the show. There's a special message, interface to send messages to the show, which by the way, we still did not get our fifth message. If somebody wants tickets to the Arnold, for the live show today. So if you haven't done it cause you think somebody already did it, you could still be a winner here. And then if you're listening to the podcast and it's the 14th, and you have the app, the 14th message, just say, I want the, free Arnold tickets, will win, 2 tickets to the Arnold, which is coming up at the end of this month. So don't forget that. Just message us through the app. But it's like the Superhuman Radio Network app is fantastic. Why are you still fiddling around with Stitcher and iTunes or whatever, which don't do us any justice at all? So while Sean Canernshield did a wonderful thing by figuring out what the problem was, get rid of the other apps and just use our app because it's just so much easier. That's all. Anyway, want to thank everybody for listening. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day, and I'm taking off, and I hope that you're taking off too. Spend time with your loved one. It's part of the longevity prescription. And we will see everybody Monday. We've got a lot of great shows planned for you next week. See you then.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.